talking about this interface between environmental impact assessment, especially the NEPA flavor of it that Aaron talked about, and HIA that Andy was talking about. And over the years, as HIA has developed, we've always looked back, you know, to environmental impact assessment. We have some other roots that have shaped HIA, but largely it's been framed and shaped by environmental impact assessment. And what we're hoping is that maybe now is the time's ripe for HIA to begin influencing environmental impact assessment. It's a revision of something that I collaborated on with Rajiv Bhatia from San Francisco, who's done a lot of this work in California's environmental law called CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act. Now, here are the different influences that have shaped HIA, that, at least the kind of HIA that we have in the United States. We have environmental impact assessment. We have risk analysis and epidemiology kind of giving us guidance on the quantitative procedures to use. And community-based participation, healthy cities. It's interesting that a lot of the early pioneers in health impact assessment in Europe, where HIA really got started, were people who had been involved in the healthy cities movement. It's just that they had the healthy cities meetings over and over, and people began asking, why are we meeting? And HIA gives people a reason to start to collaborate across sectors and to discuss, you know, what are the health impacts of our transportation policy or our housing policy in our city or our state. Now, some of the things that environmental impact assessment has contributed is this idea of cross-sectoral policy analysis, advisory expertise, a very transparent process, stakeholder participation, and this is kind of the ideal case because sometimes they scrimp on that a little bit. Structured frameworks, there's flexibility within a structured framework. There's this framework that everyone uses across the United States for environmental impact assessment, but each EIA is different because each project, each locale is different. And there are specific protocols and terminology, some of which we have adopted wholesale from environmental impact assessment. Our phases that Andy was talking about, screening, scoping, impact assessment, reporting and review, and evaluation. This is exactly how environmental impact assessment is set up. Now, when NEPA, actually was the first environmental impact assessment type of law in the world. Subsequently, U.S. states have patterned their specific, state-specific laws after NEPA, and a lot of other countries have as well. Health was a big part of it. In the preamble, they say, the purpose of NEPA is to protect the human environment and stimulate the health and welfare of man. And women, too. But the law was passed in 1969, but this version, this actual quote that I took from that, the revised statute was 1979. Environmental effects under NEPA, and these are going to give you a kind of an idea of where are the handles where we can fit, where we can plug in health into the NEPA process. We have ecologic, aesthetic, historic, cultural, economic, social, social effects, on health. The relationship of people and the environment. Environmental justice is a mandated part of the federal NEPA process. We have direct and indirect links where we can kind of take the next step out to health. And there's something called, you know, cumulative impacts. It's a whole section in NEPA, and we can start looking at some of these cumulative impacts that eventually start impacting human health. Now, as Aaron alluded to, we do have, it's rare to see an explicit discussion of health in a NEPA document. One reason for this is kind of the environmentalist roots of the NEPA process. There's this, historically, there's been a lot of focus on air emissions, for instance, but not like the downstream consequences of that on human health. Protection of endangered species and such. EIA, as it's operationalized by the different federal agencies, has to be rooted in changes in the physical environment. If you don't have that change in the physical environment, you don't go ahead and do an environmental impact statement. There's a lack of public health mandates to consider health in NEPA. NEPA itself is a very limited law. As far as laws go, it's very, very short. But subsequent laws, the Clean Air Act, the Endangered Species Act, have said when you are doing a NEPA, if you do a NEPA document, you have to consider air emissions. You have to consider endangered species. If there's endangered species that are impacted, you have to develop mitigation plans. We don't have that for public health impacts. And also, we lack kind of standardized assessment protocols. We're working on that. I think we're very soon going to be at a place where we can say we have those assessment protocols for addressing health impacts, but I don't think we're quite there yet. Now, we've all been talking about, well, let's join the environmental impact bandwagon, and I'm going to say, well, maybe we don't want to, excuse me, I'm going to mix metaphors, but we don't want to tie up our canoe to that big aircraft carrier because we may get swamped. There are times where we will want to, and there are many opportunities for integration of health into these environmental impact assessments, but I would urge caution. They're very long documents. One of them that I reviewed at the outset when we were first beginning our HI project at UCLA, 20,000 pages. 20,000 pages. That's bookshelves, many, many bookshelves. And what's very amusing is there is a old federal directive saying that it should be preferably less than 100 pages long, your environmental impact statement. Some of them, not all, but there many times it's boilerplate analysis. Your consulting company took exactly what they did the last time around for some other locale, some other project. They change a couple of words, and there it is. There's your environmental impact statement. Please give us about 10,000, not 10,000, about $1 million to $10 million, somewhere in that range. A low-cost environmental impact statement is going to cost you $1 million. It mirrors established regulations. It's not the environmental impact statement is a reflection of existing regulations. It's not changing them necessarily. There's been a focus on adverse impacts. In a lot of the health impact assessments that Andy talked about, we're focusing on the positive, the health benefits. There's not been that focus on the positives in the EIA process. No assessment of trade-offs. You assess different alternatives, but you don't assess, well, there are these economic benefits, but these draw risks to physical activity, and you don't weigh those against each other necessarily. Many times it's too late in the